Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And Cindy, in the last segment, we were getting through a list of some equipment that people need. Mm-hmm. What other equipment do you think people need for a pastry?
I think, you know, if you have an interest in doing individual desserts rather than, you know, a big cake, you know, looking into buying some of the flexible molds, they're really fun to work with. And you know, it just gives you something, another shape, something interesting to do or get ready for a party. It's kind of fun to have, you know, little spherical things or things that are shaped in a little rectangle.
These are not like molds of Star Wars figures. These are molds of like for tarts or madeleines or...
And geometric shapes and traditional shapes, and they're plastic molds. They can go right into the oven. I mean, I've been cooking for 30 years, so these have only been around for maybe 10 or 12, something like that, and it's a new way of being able to bake, and it's kind of hard to imagine putting a plastic, basically sheet into the oven with these shapes, but it works, and it's very easy to get the product out of them, and also for professional uses, we can turn around and put that into a freezer and easily unmold something that we might, you know, we use them for cold mousses and things, not just baking. And I think the only other thing as far as equipment goes is it might also be fun to have some ring molds.
So Cindy, when you say a ring mold, these are stainless steel molds of a couple of inches mm-hmm. in diameter.
You can get them in all different sizes and thickness and height. So it's a lot of fun to play with things like that to do individual pastries. And there are a couple of different companies that you can buy them from. Just look on the internet and maybe put in flexible molds and find out. JB Prince is one of the companies that has all kinds of wonderful equipment, whether it's for the hot kitchen or for the cold kitchen.
Do you have a couple of recommendations for techniques people want to get down making pastry?
I think that, making a souffle and Julia Child's recipe, I think I said earlier, is her recipe is just perfect and has great instruction. I think it would be a lot. I think a lot of people are scared of making a souffle, it's really not that hard.
They're scared of souffles because of sitcoms. Where someone has an important dinner party and then some knucklehead goes stomping through the kitchen, or someone has dance practice in the kitchen and the souffle falls, right?
Well, they can be made and they're not hard to do. And I think it's just such a great pastry to make. And actually, because you really make it almost to order or when you need it, it's something that doesn't require a lot of preparation ahead of time. It's kind of nice if you're having a small dinner party. I wouldn't put myself under the pressure with a big group, but if you're having, you know, 8 people over, I think it would be really fun to do souffle, and probably your friends might be impressed.
So that the whole ball game with that is what you make the recipe and then you prepare the souffle mold, right?
Right. Right. It's you make the base, which is basically bechamel, and you add whatever flavor you want, Grand Marnier or some other sort of alcohol or an extract, anything that you want to add to it. And then when you have your base sitting, you whip whites as you're ready to make your souffle. You add a little bit of sugar. You actually dust in a little bit of sugar into the whites as they're whipping. And it really with the whites, the main thing is understanding how far you have to take them. And if you take them too far, they're not going to fold in as beautifully as they should, and it won't rise as nicely as it should. It may over-rise if you over-whip your whites. And if you under-whip them, it's not going to rise as high. So it's something really you should practice and have fun with. And again, I would teach my kids how to do that. I think it would be a great thing to teach your kids how to make, you know, something they can take with them as a young adult and you know, have as part of their technique in their kitchen someday. And I think folding is one of the things that is a little bit mysterious to people. And, you know, folding is really that action of gently incorporating egg whites into a recipe, and you are scraping through the center of the bowl and then hitting the outside and moving back into the center. It's very hard to describe, and it's really something you have to read about. And
I was always told to think about it as a square motion and not a round motion, because you're always tempted with a round motion to go too fast, and then you...
Yeah, and also you're not beating it in, you're literally folding, and it's actually a beautiful action. It's something kind of pretty to watch while you're doing it. And I think one of the other things, I actually had a guest the other day say something about, I love creme brulee, and I don't know if I could do that at home, and to brulee, actually do the caramelized sugar on top. And that's another thing that I think is a lot of fun at the restaurant, because we We will do many in a night. We actually use a professional blowtorch. You know, we just go to Home Depot and get the canister and the top. And but you can actually buy small ones. You don't need all that gas and power.
I'm imagining so many fires in people's homes.
Oh, gosh. But
please don't do this in front of someone at their place setting.
Oh, gosh.
Lose their eyebrows.
Do it in the kitchen and in a place where it can handle the heat. And it's always better done on a metal surface. But I don't know how many people have metal countertops at home. But you can buy small propane to do creme brulee at Williams-Sonoma and other kitchen stores. So I just think all that method is you make your creme brulee, you make your custard, put it in a water bath, bake it in the oven on low heat. And when you bring them out, you can then refrigerate them until you're ready to make the brulee. And when you're ready to serve, you do it just before service, and you dust it with sugar. It can be regular sugar. It can be sugar in the raw. There are a couple of different types
of sugar.
It
could be a flavored sugar, a sugar that you kept with a vanilla bean in the cabinet for a while.
Sure. And then it's just a light bit of that on top of your custard, and then you just literally burn it with the blowtorch. And it smells so good while you're doing it, and it is a fun process. So you just have to be careful.
Do you want to kick out a recipe to people for a pastry that you like to do?
Yes. One of the things that I think is very easy to make at home is a charlotte or a bread pudding. And with a charlotte, brioche is definitely, I prefer to use brioche. And I don't know, you know, you'd have to go to a bake shop and order a brioche. I would cut the crust off, and you literally just, brioche is very delicate. It already has a lot of butter and egg yolk in it. So you don't need too much butter with brioche. But that is the idea of a charlotte, that you're dipping the bread in butter. Lining the sides of a mold, so it's probably a 2-inch mold with a.
And you see them; they're called charlotte molds,
right? And they have the little pretty handles on the side. I love charlotte molds, traditional ones. And you line the bottom, line the sides with the dipped bread. I like to put a little bit of sugar on the bread as well. It depends on what kind of bread you're using and the sugar content of that bread. And then, you know, you can put anything in there. You can put sauteed apples in there. You could do peaches as they come into season. You could do Bing cherries. But typically
cherries and peaches is soon locally.
Right, so. Exactly. And then that'll follow with apples in September or August, whenever. And but traditionally a charlotte was made with apples. And, you know, if I was to do apples, I would saute them in butter with a little bit of sugar and cinnamon until they're just soft and put those in the center. Peaches, no work at all. Basically just peel them, chop them, or even slice them and toss them in a tiny bit of sugar, maybe a little bit of lime juice, just to keep them from turning, oxidizing, and put that in and bake those in a probably almost a 400 degree, if it's a still oven, a regular unconvected oven at home, I would do 400 degrees and put them on a sheet pan and bake them for 5 to 8 minutes. You do put a top on, by the way. I said bottom and sides. And then as you put your fruit in, then you put another piece of bread on top to close it all up. And as you see that top start to brown and the sides start to brown, pull them out. It's such a good dessert and great for a homemade vanilla ice cream or another homemade fruit ice cream.
It's great for a glass of cold champagne is what it's great for.
Yeah, and we should talk about dessert.
I think about dessert.
Wines.
It makes me also think about dessert wine. People, I think, they love the idea of them. They love them when they taste them, and then they never buy them, and they never use them. And it makes me sad because almost anywhere in the world where they make wine, dessert wine, it is the prize, the most difficult, most costly thing for them to make as well. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about like the sabayon that you like to make with the Madeira,
yes.
Or you know, what the Italians call sabayone, that they make with Marsala, or with almost any kind of pasito. And the luxury of it is that this wine that's so difficult to make, that's so marvelously naturally sweet, you know, it's like this thousands of year old gift of you know, technique in winemaking to be delivered at the table to give you a little nectar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's and maybe it's because people are afraid of wine being sweet. But charlotte being warm with the apples and a glass of cold champagne.
That sounds great. You know, perfect.
There's some champagne that is so dry that doesn't serve in that sort of situation. But, you know, something that's, especially the ones that are very red fruited, a Blanc de Noir, a small grower named Gonet Medeville makes a Blanc de Noir, meaning it's, and this one's all made from Pinot Noir. And it has this great, broad, almost briary red fruit personality. And it's super moussey and super generous. That with that warm charlotte would be amazing.
What other wines do you like for pastry?
Well, we'll be talking about chocolate with Albert Kirschmeyer in the next segment, and that immediately makes me think of Banyuls. Banyuls from France all the way right down by the Spanish border, literally on the road to Barcelona from Montpellier. That region's all sandy vineyards right by the sea. It's almost all Grenache. And this is a wine that the alcohol naturally is really, really high because the stuff ripens like crazy. And so it's not fortified like port usually. So it lands somewhere in that fermentation stops at 16.7, 16.8. And then from literally from, you know, through a little bit of time and aging, it'll rise to maybe 17.5 or 18% alcohol. So a little bit lighter than port and not quite as sweet as a lot of other dessert wines. But with chocolate desserts, it is the marvelous. It is the marvelous thing.
Yeah, I can smell it right now. That would be so pretty with chocolate.
It has this aroma of roasted cherries, or you know, a little bit of kirsch, or cherries or currants made into raisins that makes you want the bitter of the chocolate is the right sort of antidote for that kind of sweet without it being. It's not too sugary.
Is that something you serve cold or?
You serve
cool?
It cool. You serve it cool. Sort of cellar temperature. You know, mm-hmm. That's one of those things that. Most like Madeira, port, sherry, Banyuls, they're all things that I would serve at cellar temperature. And the easy, quick way to get to that 55-degree place is to just put it in the refrigerator for 20 or 30 minutes before you serve it. It's an easy, quick cheat. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, maybe you have this marvelous conditioned wine cellar to keep the stuff in, but even you know, even if you're just going to the store to get it. And
any particular
put it in there.
Producers?
Chapoutier is probably the easiest one to find. The famous one was Dr. Parcet, Domaine de Mas Blanc, for a long time. But there's several other good producers. Domaine de la Tour Blanche is another good producer.
And you have other things that you like to serve? You're talking about ice?
Well, ice wine is one of those things I think that's often misunderstood. Ice wine in Germany, where the tradition comes from, literally comes from people leaving on the Rhine, on the Mosel, grapes out on the vine for months after harvest.
Wow, months.
Months. And then you get a deep freeze, and during the deep freeze, all of the water comes out of the grapes, and then you pick those grapes.
That's interesting.
And so there's no botrytis like a lot of late harvest wines. It's not the mold. But when it's clear and cold, you can make an ice wine like that. And once every 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 years, you can honestly do that in Germany. That's what it comes from.
Is that
there are a lot of people that manipulate wine to be ice wine, but that's not what you always
see. The traditional process. Yeah. Is it high in alcohol then?
No, it's not high in alcohol. Okay. I mean, that literally is that is the real nectar of the gods.
Okay, sounds
but,
great.
But if it's ice wine from another part of the world, that's not often the way that happens. It's usually manipulated.
And you were also talking about another pastry that you like to make from Italy.
Oh, well, that's fine. I'm always stuck between two things. Crostata. Crostata is, I mean, do this in very quick form, is a pastry, and the best ones, you see them kind of up north, where it's like half buckwheat and half flour. And we'll post a recipe on the website for making crostata dough. It's very easy to do if you have a food processor in particular. Either mixer or food processor, honestly.
Yeah, which
easy.
Is nice if you can throw it in the food
processor. The whole ball game is you make this marvelous pastry, and then you get real flavor in the fruit. So right now, like this time of the year, it's strawberries. So you roast strawberries at a very low temperature, say 175, 180 degrees for 12, 14 hours in a very heavy pan in the oven with almost no sugar. Honestly, when I do them, I just do them a little bit of honey and maybe star anise as a little seasoning, a couple of drops of sweet wine, a couple of drops of cognac, and turn them a few times. And then cool that down, and you get the berries hold their shape, and then when you make the dough, you form it, and it's almost like a beggar's purse, where you sort of form the edges up, you know, roughly, and you fill it with this roasted fruit.
But you don't close it up. You do.
You don't
a little
quite
bit
close
of
it. Yeah, you leave, and it browns marvelously along the top and the
and
sides.
And I think don't you also coat that dough with sugar or big pieces of sugar
you,
sometimes
you can
too.
Coat it with sugar. You can coat it with almond sugars, like sugar you ground with almonds, and that browns on the outside. We got to take a break and get to the next segment on Formidable Wolf on Food and Wine.